Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Show. I'm Noah Evans, and on this show, I'm going to creatively break down real estate deals with top investors across the country to help you become closer to achieving financial freedom. Alrighty, let's get to it.
What's up, guys? It's Justin Martin, and today you're tuned in for a real special show at the Chasing Freedom Podcast. We got a very special guest, a legend in the building today, Eric Coe.
Let's go. Eric, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you, man. Glad to be here.
Absolutely, guys. So I met Eric again at the Maui Mastermind. You guys are kind of getting a real deep inside scoop on all the people invited out to that Maui Masterclass through Bigger Pockets. And Eric and I, we kind of hit it off, and then we reconnected again at this Salt Lake trip. We kind of reorganized for the group to meet up, and Eric and I just got deep into conversations about land and marketing and all sorts of stuff. So through that conversation, I was like, man, I got to have Eric on the show. We got to have you come talk to the guests, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. It was fun. I mean, we were like straying down the mountain and talking real estate.
It was cool, dude. Definitely like a core memory for me. So
yeah, me too, man.
Well, let's jump into like what got you into real estate and specifically your niche. Like, how did you end up on your niche?
Yeah, that's so my background is I'm a creative director. I started an agency, you know, after college. I went to school, got a degree in graphic design. And after college, you know, I founded a co-founded agency, advertising agency. So we're doing like, you know, graphic design, web design, advertising, you know, digital advertising, any kind of stuff, like marketing in general. And we built that company from ground up. There was only like three of us actually. And we grew the team to like 12. And in like within probably 2 years. And so we're doing that for, I don't know, like 6 years. Well, for me, you know, we have clients from, you know, the city of Las Vegas, you know, like all these different like local casinos mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So that was really, really fun. But after year six, I got kind of burned out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's different, like, you know, as a creative director, like graphic design, like I like to design things. You know, I like to make things look nice, this and that, mm-hmm. right? But after a while, when you start doing it for other people so many times, right, it gets kind of, you know, I get kind of burned out.
Yeah, it's
Yeah. And so I kind of exited my partnership mm-hmm. and, you know, I got a little money, not a lot, just a little bit for me to kind of find something else. And at that time I had my son. I was like, you know what, I'm going to take probably like 6 months off just to kind of think what I wanted to do. And I was like, oh, I love coffee. So I started a little like online coffee business. And I was like, oh man, it's like the margins is not there. It's just right. So difficult to build this brand. And so scrap that. And I always wanted to do real estate, mm-hmm. like even when I was, you know, had my agency. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to get into flipping houses, you know, because it's like everybody's yep. like first step, right? And so I was like looking into that, researching, trying to understand like how to do it. Cause I have no idea. Like at that time, I have no idea. And I talked to my uncle. He's been a kind of like a mentor for me too. And he's been investing, you know, in land for like the longest time, like probably, I don't know, 20, 30 years.
Wow.
Like long time.
Talk about the appreciation he's probably sat on some of those pieces, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, some of them. Yeah. He does. Okay. So I was talking to him. I was like, hey, I want to get into flipping houses. And he was like, have you considered flipping land? And at that time I was like, land, like dirt, like it's so boring. Like, it's not even sexy, right? It's like, what is that? Like, and then, so he was like telling me, well, you know, there's like these tax auctions, right? Like every county has tax auctions mm-hmm. and you look for these, like you can go to these, it's public, you know, you can like now you can do it online, but before, you know, you have to go to the county office and actually bid on the properties. And so, you know, he was like, you know what? Have you looked into that? Because you can buy some undervalued properties, you know, people who default, you know, in the taxes and the county takes them back. And you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And so I started doing that. And I was like, I remember the first time I was like researching that specific county, and probably like 30 days before, they give you like a list of all the default mm-hmm. Properties where you can research and, you know, stuff like that. And I was like, dude, I spent like probably 160 hours, like the first month, like to, I have no idea what I was doing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got a lot of, like, and all
these, like, yeah, the APN numbers, all these numbers, it's just like all confusing and stuff. But long story short, I ended up buying, I probably spent like $8,000 on those properties. And I was able to kind of turn it around and sold it for about 150K, like within a year. Like out of all those properties. So I bought all these are little ones, like, you know, under a grand each, right? So I bought a bunch of.
So you bought like eight pieces?
No, I bought probably like five of those. So I was like, man, after that, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And I don't need to go and, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to look at the properties. I mean, I just go on Google Maps or Google Earth, whatever you want to use, right? And just really look at the properties. Now, this is a funny story. Like, this is how dumb I am. I didn't realize I bought a cliff.
Oh, shit.
No, but I was looking at like bird's eye view, right? Oh, yeah. It looks flat. It didn't come to me to go into a 3D Mo and look at the terrain. And yeah, but I ended up selling it. I didn't really lose money, but I just bought it. I thought I would make like this much more, but I just sold it to like, I don't know, some other investor bought it.
Some other investor that also.
I got a letter. No, I got a letter. Yeah, I got a letter in the mail. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then so from there, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I got an offer for my land, right, in the mail. And so that kind of leads into like, oh, maybe I should start doing this. Because the tax auction is not, is getting more competitive now, mm-hmm. especially online, right? Everybody can come and bid, right? And so it's just a lot of work up front where, you know, you don't really know if you're going to even get the property or not. And people like go into this whole bidding war. It's not really worth the time, in my opinion. It's also, you know, it's always better to go direct to owners. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I transitioned it over to direct to owners with direct mail.
That's awesome, brother.
Yeah.
So I want to break something apart there. You did something that stops most people from even getting started. You took a leap of faith. You had no idea if you putting your hard-earned money into this land would pay off. But instead of spinning your wheels and saying, you know, well, I could put my $8,000 in the stock market. I could put my $8,000 here. I could put my money there. I could put my money. Like, you know, there were an infinite amount of options. And I think more often than not, it's more important that you decide than that you maximize your decision.
Yeah.
Because indecision is also a decision, right?
Sure.
So that you picked a path and you went forward with it and you took the leap of faith. And I'm very excited to kind of get to the tail end of your story towards the end of the episode when we talk about kind of where you are now, from where you started, because it's a really incredible journey. So what did that look like to start marketing? Why don't you break down like direct mail? Like what is direct mail? What does that look like? How much are you spending on it?
Yeah, so it's a funny story because I came from the digital marketing space, right? Mm-hmm. You know, everything is online. We used to do PPC all the time for a lot of clients, you know, this and that. And like to come back, I feel like I have to like to come back to direct mail. It's like, who reads
like going back to the Stone Ages?
Yeah, the Stone Ages. Like, what is this? Right. But it works, you know? And the reason why I kind of go back to direct mail is because if you look at like the counties, like wherever wherever you invest in, every county will have a list of tax records. It's public mm-hmm. records. Anyone can request that information, right? And so, you know, the way how I do it when I first started was I was kind of taught to kind of do blind offers. Mm-hmm. And what blind offers are, you know, is basically, you know, you do a lot of, like, for example, let's say if you know a piece of land that's worth, I don't know, like $20,000, right? And so, you know, you want to give them an offer of whatever percentage you're comfortable in paying, right? However much you want to make. Obviously, the higher the offer, more likely people will go for it, right? And you have some of these guys that will go like 10% of 10 cents on a dollar, 15 cents on a dollar. But it's a little bit different though with rural vacant land, because rural vacant land are land that most people don't really like care about. You
not
know,
a lot these of
are like they call it
right?
they call it junk
land,
right? Yeah. You know, but there are is a niche for that, you know, people who wants to just kind of like go off grid, park their RVs there, you know, just hang out, whatever, build an off grid cabin, whatever, right? So there's a little niche for that. And so with the blind offers, you know, to me, it's like if you want to do it at scale, you're going to have to do that. Because unless you have a big team, which I don't have a big team, you know, I kind of want to, I want to have a lean team this time around. Because when I have an agency, I have a big team and it was expensive.
It drains your account so fast, man.
Like me and my partners, I do work so hard. Like this is it. You know what I mean? And so, but anyway, yeah, so I do blind offers on a lot of these like rural stuff, and you know, it's just volume, right? And you do your market research up front. I spend most of my time doing the research up front, right? And just kind of figure out the comps, which areas, you know, how much you can sell it for. I just say houses, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then you just make them a blind offers. And I actually done 10 houses, like 10 deals on houses. I think I told you that, right?
No.
I haven't.
So you sent blind offers out and grabbed 10 houses? Okay, how big was that mailing list?
12,000.
12,000. You got 10 houses.
Yes.
Bro, that's
this was about 3 years ago, though.
Wow.
Before this whole COVID stuff.
Well, and then now, yeah, so many people.
But I just wanted to try it because I think that concept works. You know what I mean? Because, so basically that's kind of what I did. Like, for the more expensive stuff, it just kind of depends on how much you want to offer. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you think about it. I mean, this is how I think. It's like, all right, well, when you send a letter out or any kind of marketing, right? You know, you usually ask, hey, do you want to sell? Right, basically. And they have to make a decision like, okay, is this guy a spam or is this guy a scammer or whatever? Okay, that's one decision. And then when they finally decide, okay, you know, maybe, well, how much, right? That's just a second question. But if you send a blind offer, it answers both.
Do you want to accept this price?
Yeah.
You take all the stress off.
If they really want to sell, they will call back and negotiate or whatever it is, right? And that's the beauty about it. But the thing about this is you do leave some money on the table. I mean, sure. You know, you have a guy like Noah here, a closer, right? You want to get on the phone and start closing people. You do have, you know what I mean? You do leave some on the table now. But for rural land, even for houses too, you know, it's very competitive. And I think in the housing space, like there's not too many people are doing that. You know what I mean? Blind offers. Because everybody just say, oh, get a postcard. Do you want to sell? You know, what's your plan, right? It's like, yeah, every day they get that kind of mail. So when you give them a number, they can think.
Is it worth it to call? Yes or no? Yep. Yeah.
Exactly.
It makes the decision to reach out so much easier.
Yeah.
No, I really like that. I think,
and there's a little hack for that. I can go in a little deeper on that one campaign for all the houses. So I went in and looked for houses that has no mortgage.
Ah, free and clear.
Free and clear. I mean, that's how I did it and had pretty good success. And I just didn't continue to do it because I just don't like going in, you know, meeting up with people all the time, right? And so, because I can kind of accomplish that same thing with land, you know what I mean? And so, yeah. But if you're, you know, your audience are mostly flippers and wholesalers, right?
Yes. Yeah. Probably for the most part. Yeah.
Try that out. You know, I think it will work.
So let's, I can just kind of like my wheels are spinning on the type of questions that the audience would ask. But Justin, do you have any questions before we jump into that?
Yeah. So what I wanted to ask was, are you sending the offers on as a postcard, or do you have like a contract that you send in as well too? Or how does that look?
Yeah. I sent an offer letter with a purchase agreement.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's just a one page generic purchase agreement, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you'll be surprised people hold on to that. They mail it back. I had a lady, 2 years ago, I totally forgot about her. Like, I was like, I did this like 2 years ago. I have no idea. And she just sent it back because people hold on to it.
Send it back, you know? Signed?
Yeah.
I never called you?
No.
That's crazy.
No, I mean, that's not like the purchase agreement is just it's more like a letter of intent.
Right. It's an LOI. I mean,
But, you know, people don't. It's better to just phrase it at purchase agreement.
Absolutely. They don't know what a letter of intent is.
And then when you open escrow, you know, they're going to probably have to sign another more legit, like, you know, purchase agreement more formal, I should say. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
So when you send those off, is your direct mail company that you're using able to just print that all off for you, and they use like an algorithm to be able to pick like 70% of the Zillow list price, or do you have to go in and formulate an offer on every single?
Yeah, we formulate everything ourselves. Wow. So just like, you know, we go and do that with land, same thing. We handle, me and my, when I say we, you know, I have two assistants, like virtual assistants, over in the Philippines.
Nice.
And then, you know, they handle most of the stuff. Right now I usually just kind of look at the market, you know, where, you know, with land, you can jump around a lot. Mm-hmm. I try not to do that, that much and focus. So, but yeah, with that, we kind of figure out how much everything is, and we just formulate the prices, and then we just send everything to the mail house, and okay, they just merge everything for you.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Let's break down what that process looks like to formulate that. Cause like, is that time consuming?
It's very time consuming. I spend most of my time.
Yeah. How big are the campaigns you're sending out? Like, are you doing like 200 letters at a time? And then like, you're sitting down, that's your week. Like, you're going to formulate a price on all 200 of those properties.
For houses or for land?
For land.
For land?
Yeah.
For land, you need to send a lot more.
Oh, really? You know, how big, like how
minimum,
big is the campaign?
My minimum is about like 2,000, 1,500 to 2,000.
And you're hand picking the values on 2,000.
No. So when you blind offers, it's very difficult to, like, it's more like a talking point.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a set in stone, like type of, I mean, sometimes, you know, if they sign it, right.
It's in stone.
That's great. You know, I mean, of course you want to offer the price where you're, you know, if they say yes, you're willing to buy, mm-hmm, but everything is all negotiable, because if you do your due diligence, if like this dirt doesn't have access,
right,
it's on
a
cliff,
landlocked,
yeah, obviously, obviously, you know, I can, you know, maybe I can sell it to like a rock climber or something.
Yeah,
but
right.
You know what I mean? But most people would not buy that. Like, you know what I mean? And so with that, you can only like do so much. I mean, you can spend as much time as you want, right? With land, you can just like, okay, well, you can go for the zip code, you can go for the subdivisions, mm-hmm, you can go for this county. You know, if you know your market, the county is like, okay, well, you know, you can get X for per acre here, then you just do a blind offer. It's just a general, you can go, I mean, it just depends on how much time you want to spend. Yeah. So, you know, this method can apply to houses too.
Okay.
Right? And the way how I think is, it's always reverse engineer, mm-hmm, things. So if you know your ARV, right, then you just kind of backtrack and just kind of figure out your price per square foot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How much you're willing to pay. Now, you're not going to know the condition of the house, right? But you want to go at a point where, you know, assuming there's like a full rehab, full, you know, gut, right? And so same thing with land, you know, I would go into a county and look at how much I'm willing to pay per acre or per square footage, right?
Okay.
And just kind of go at that. And then that's how I formulate the offer price, the buying offers.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Okay. So what you're saying is that like, you'll go do your market research and you'll say, mm-hmm, hey, this land in this area of Las Vegas goes for $100 an acre. So sure. Now you know if you have a 5,000 acre piece, well, it's 5,000 acres at $100 an acre. There's your blind offer, because you know you're going to get 20-30% more for that when you go sell it. Okay, so it's just a formula. That makes sense.
I mean, $100 in Vegas is nothing.
That's probably prices in like 1970s, but it's funny because when we talked in Park City, you got me super excited. There's a particular neighborhood that I was targeting already. And what we ended up doing is we had already done a flip in that neighborhood. And so, you know, I had some of the metrics for that area already. I knew what my property would be worth in the end. I knew how much I spent on rehab for like a general type of, it wasn't anything crazy. And I knew what I picked up my property for. So what I did is I went and pulled a more of a niche list of everything that kind of aligned with exactly what I already owned.
Sure.
And then we pilot tested it. And we just took, I mean, for because it was a house, we did a formula of a price per square foot and Zillow's recommended, whatever it's called, Zestimate. And then we averaged the two of them, and then we took 70% of that, and that was our blind offer price. So the spreadsheet formulated it all, right? It's like boop, 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 popped them all out. And then what we did is we sent one of our guys in and we said, hey, let's see how accurate this is. Go comp. We did it with like 40 properties. We're like, go comp these 40 homes and see exactly what you actually think we could pay versus what this little algorithm type thing we just built could actually is saying we could pay. And if it was close, we just wanted 90% accuracy. So as long as 90% of the properties, the blind offer would work, we were going to do the mailing campaign. Yeah. And it was close. It was like 76 or 80% accuracy. So we just fine tuned a couple more things, but we actually did our first blind offer mailing campaign off of our conversation in Park City.
Nice.
So,
but what you can also do too is instead of using just Zillow, you can use Redfin, Realtor.com and just average them out.
Yeah, that's super smart.
Because you got to think about it. These companies spend millions.
So much
and
money.
Millions on figuring out these like estimate. Mm-hmm. So leverage it.
Absolutely, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's harder with land because some of the certain like land is just harder because it's just not, it doesn't have that much data. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Compared to like houses. Houses is a lot easier, but of course, you know, anything easy is more competitive.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So would you say your success in this particular niche is due to your talent for like data analytics and being able to pull up your own data and create your own little market analysis on these pieces of land?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I don't look at myself as a data analyst, analyst or anything. You know, I mean, like, I just think it's important to just like understand something. I mean, it's common sense to me, right? You know, if everything is reverse, like I'm not reverse psychology, it's like reverse engineering, right? If you know how much you want to buy the house for, you know, if you know the ARV price, you know, and you know how much what your budget is, just think backwards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's how I think. And yeah.
I love it, man. Well, let's
answer a question.
No, yeah, that was good. That was perfect. I want to paint the picture, and we've been kind of like holding off on revealing like what's your volume and your company looks like now. Give us the picture of like how many deals are you doing now? What's that flow look like? You know, what's the process? Who are you selling these pieces of land to? All that good stuff.
Yeah. So when I first started, I used to do everything myself. Mm-hmm. Like I would buy the property, I would sell the property, I would just list it on like landwash.com, all these different sites, even Zillow too, right? But probably the last year and a half, I transitioned that to just focus on acquisition. Because, mm-hmm. You know, I want to scale the acquisition side of things. And to me, what I'm really building here is not just like I'm a land guy, you know, I'm a house guy. It's really just a marketing machine that I'm trying to build where I can funnel any type of assets, could be commercial, could be anything, could be industrial, into this machine, right? Qualify them and get leads. And so what I'm doing now is we do about 2 or 3 deals a month. We close about 2 or 3 deals a month, average about netting 10 to 20K. So it's pretty good. I want to scale that up to 10. That's my ultimate goal. I'll be super happy if I can.
I think there's a lot of people that'd be just happy doing one 10K deal a month.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And, you know, when I first started, I didn't go for the 10K deal, right? I, you know, you start up small, but what shift my mindset is like, if you want to make more money, you do bigger deals.
Absolutely.
It's the same effort, same stress, same energy. So I shifted that. And who knows, maybe a year from now, let's do $100,000 deals, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because it's all margins, right? So it's like, okay, you can't expect to make $10,000 on a $10,000 piece of land, right? You're doubling the margin, right? So, but instead, you're talking about, you go into maybe a little bit higher price point area, and you're looking at land that you're going to buy for $1 million.
Sure.
Well, a 10% margin on $1 million deal would be $100,000. Yeah. So that's not bad. Yeah, right. That's great, right? But yeah, so it's just like, it's all in the realm you plan. It's all zeros.
Yeah. it's also about like, the reason why I like land is because, you know, the cash on cash return is a lot higher. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like for houses, you have to, I don't know, let's say you buy a $150,000 house. You know, you got to get the 150K, right? Versus, you know, land, you can easily buy anything under 20 grand. You can flip it. You can double your money. Easy, right?
I know you're putting up this 20 grand, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like 100% return, 100 to 200, right?
Yeah.
But you know, the amount, it's all volume, mm-hmm. right? And that's the hard part is, you know this, how to scale this up, right? Efficiently. And that's kind of where I'm at now is like where I want to scale this up to 10. Well, I used to think like, okay, 10 deals a month, do 10,000, you know, net 10 per 10 deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, for each deal. And I was just like, wow, that's a lot of work to have that like consistently, right? Then I was like, what if I just do like 250K
deals a month, yeah.
A month, right? It will take more mailers and stuff to find those deals. Because the higher the dollar amount, you know, you need more mailers. It's more mm-hmm. volume involved, right? And so, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Are you only focused on, is your only marketing channel mailers? Do you do any cold calling, any texting?
I do texting mails? Too. Do texting okay. too. Yeah. Yeah. Texting and mailing.
Which one has a higher return for you?
Mailing is more consistent. Text message is faster. Mm-hmm. You can get the answer quicker. So I think it's a mix. It really depends. Like, I don't really know the exact metrics. And this is something that I'm working on to keep track of it really, really. Try to be good, as good as I can. I can tell you mailers, I can do, it depends on where the county is. Can average about every 1,500 to probably 3,500 to buy one of those like $20,000 type of like properties, mm-hmm. like netting $20,000 type okay. of property.
So like yeah. 1,500 to 2,000 mailers get you about 20K in profit.
3,500 mailers.
Get you about 20K in profit.
Give or take, yeah. yeah. Depending on which county.
What I love about this, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just got excited. This is the fundamental foundation to business, guys. Like Eric knows his KPIs. You know how much you need to send out to bring in X. It's just an algebra equation, right? Like X plus Y equals something. Yeah. And something for you is money. So mailers plus your time equals a deal.
And you don't know it until you start doing it.
Absolutely.
Are you going to make, like when I first started, I have no idea. Like, I mean, you know, it's not a waste of money, but it just like, these are the costs of doing business, mm-hmm. like things that you learn along the way. You know, if you're kind of in between like 0 to 1 right now, like just do it. Like there's so much information out there, mm-hmm. you know, just pick something because everything works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything works. Direct mail, cold calling, everything works. Just pick something and just do
it. So figure it out. Yeah. yeah.
Go figure it out. I mean, you know, don't go reckless about it, but just get the basic knowledge mm-hmm. and just do it. You know, it's like, what's that saying? You know, you cannot read about doing pushups. You just got to do it.
Do it. Yeah. I think that's the side of the business that's so not talked about as well. I mean, it's, you see the flashy side a lot. Like you can go make 10,000, 20,000 doing this one deal, but they're not teaching a side where, hey, it takes 3,500 mailers that we have to send out to get X amount. So,
because I mean, it's very difficult to say that because every market is different, mm-hmm. right? And it all comes down to your, you know, your copywriting, you know, the way how you handle the process when the lead comes in. Like there's a lot of different variables, but you know, it's very hard. Like I said, every market is different, and you'll figure out your own market once you start doing it.
This is a great point for everybody to take into consideration because you're buying a lot of, I can never say the word, rural land, right?
Rural,
yeah, yeah. Pretty close that time. Versus like, you know, like I've mailed for land in McCall, Idaho. And I probably spent $4,000 on mailers and I haven't got a single hit. But that's an area where like every single person in Idaho would love to own a piece of land in McCall.
Yeah.
So it's so different, right? So like I quit and I don't know how close that diamond was. You know, as I'm digging through the dirt here, and that diamond was probably right on the other side. Maybe yeah. maybe the mailing number in McCall was every 6,000 mailers you get a deal. I don't know.
The 4,000, I don't think is enough. How much is it? Hear me asking. Like, what's
like how much is a piece of land there?
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
So I mean, they could go depending on how close you are to the lake. You could be $600,000.
Okay.
For a 10,000 square foot lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just kind of depends on the, usually the higher the dollar, the more mailer you need to send. And it also depends on how you send. If you did you do the blind offers on this one or no?
No, not on this one. No, okay. I should have. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of guys that I know that do a lot more volume than me, right? That they do a ton of mailers. Like we're talking about like 10,000, 25,000. Like especially for houses, you have to do a lot more because there's completely. So much competition.
Yeah.
Like that 12,000 mailer that I've done, you know, I think I got lucky on that one, but it's, you know, you just have to do a lot more mailers. It's just volume. And as more competition,
yeah,
the yeah. more you have to do, unfortunately. Cost of acquisition goes up.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, yeah. Here's a weird question I just thought about. You don't still happen to have a copy of that mailer that you sent out in that 12,000 mailer campaign, do you?
I might. I can look it up.
If you have it, let's take a picture of it. We'll throw it up on the Chasing Freedom website. And then anybody listening that wants to see what your postcard looked like that got you that result.
Yeah.
If you're okay with that, you know, that'd be, that would add a ton of value. So,
yeah. And I think a lot of it too is it's not just the mailer. Like it's also, like I said, you can get the leads. Like I think, I don't think that's the hard part. You know what I mean? If you do enough, if you send in enough mailer out, you will get calls.
Right.
Right. But it's all about the process after that. Mm-hmm. Like your sales skills. Like when you go to an appointment, like what do you say? Like, you know what I mean? Like just all these little different things that you have to apply because I'm sure if I can send you a lead, Noah can close it, right? Mm-hmm. Right there.
Actually, Justin's the closer.
Justin
can close it, yeah.
No, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
but,
yeah.
But if you send someone like, I don't know, like my sister, hopefully she's not watching this.
I'm sending it to her, man.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just different. You got to have that skill set. Once you get the call,
right?
Like to me, the lead gen part is pretty simple. You just have to do X amount, mm-hmm. right, of mailer or text message or cold calling. Once you reach that amount, calls will come. I mean, leads will come in, and it's just a matter of how good you are to close.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's probably like a different skill set than the actual marketing side. You know what I mean?
What are some things that you did to master that skill set?
Podcasts. YouTube. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, before my creative director agency days, I worked T-Mobile.
Oh, there you go.
For 10 years. I was just part-time.
Eric, did you start working at 9 years old?
Yeah, sorry, actually five.
Yeah, five. No, 5 years old in the T-Mobile store slinging that iPhone 2. You know,
no, but I've learned a lot from that job.
Yeah.
You know, I was really good at it. Like, not because like I'm a good salesman, but I just stood in front of the, like near the entrance while everyone is just talking in the back. So everyone comes in. I just talk.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I love that. It's so funny too. Cause it's like, there's probably telltale signs like early on in life of people that will be successful. So like I had a corporate job too. So like I hope that this is probably very relatable for anyone listening. Like I was the best salesman at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I used to sell all the insurance protection products, right?
Yeah.
So like I loved the ranking system because I'm super competitive. I was like the number one salesman in all of Alaska and Washington for like 2 years in a row.
Nice.
And then I ran like one of the number one branches for a couple years in a row. But it's like there's telltale signs, right? Like it's like the people that are just willing to put the effort. You just hang in there long enough and you keep putting in the effort and you keep showing up and you keep standing at the front of the door, right?
You have to.
And that's how you win. And it's the same thing with real estate, right? Like you kept going, you kept sending the mailers, you kept hopping on the phone, you kept educating yourself. And it got you to a point where now you're consistently producing $30,000 to $60,000 a month selling land. It's super impressive and it's very attainable for anyone listening. Like Eric's giving you guys the blueprint to go do what he's doing. Just don't go do it in his market. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's a lot.
They're going to have a hard time. Know, yeah, it's absolutely.
There
it's
are
all
3,000 plus counties in this nation.
That's crazy.
So pick one.
Yeah.
And then even within each county, there's so much land, you know? So, but my point is you got to have a certain skill set, right? Like sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. Well, more sales. It's extremely important. Like you know, even though you have a job, mm-hmm. you know, let's say if you don't have your own business yet or whatever, you're just doing like a 9-to-5, you still need to sell yourself to your employer that, you know, you can provide value.
Right. Absolutely.
That doesn't mean like, you know, even though if you're not a salesperson, you're still selling yourself.
Absolutely.
In, to your boss.
Right.
Right. Why they should keep you and not fire you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So everyone is a salesperson.
Right.
In my opinion.
I love it, man. Well, dude, this has been a super fun episode. We're going to move into the tail end of the show here.
Sure.
And what we're going to do is we're going to pick your brain on 4 specific questions that we love to ask our guests. And again, shout out to Justin for coming up with what I think is probably the best one. You want to take this over?
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-oh. So yeah. So let's say tomorrow you woke up and you lost everything, every single thing that you have. But the only thing that you kept was the knowledge of everything that you learned over the years of buying and flipping land. How would you get back to where you are right now?
What I would do is I would drive for dollars. I would drive around. Do I have a computer?
Yeah, you can have a computer.
I need to drive for dollars. Yeah. Okay. So I will go online and look at the different areas where I want to buy. And
you don't have any.
No internet?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, what the hell?
This is the Stone Age.
Give me a computer without internet.
No, you haven't.
Just a spreadsheet. Okay. All right, so I'll go look at where I want to buy, how much I want to pay. And here's the thing too, like I'm not going to look at how much I can afford because I don't have anything, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter in real estate. I'm sure you guys know this. Like it's, don't think about how much you can afford to pay for a property because you can find investors. You can do sell or carry. Right. So what I would do is I got to figure out how much I need right now in the next month or next week or next day to survive. Right. Let's say, you know, I want to find a deal. Give me $5,000, $2,000, because the smaller the deal, the easier it is. Right. Well, it's not always completely true. Sometimes it's more handholding for, you know, but let's just say I want to have $5,000 for the next month. So I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I will go and find deals that I can make $5,000. I want to call them up, find, maybe skip trace, you know, the property owners and call them up and say, hey, listen, I'm interested in buying a property, blah, blah, blah. And then try to negotiate and get it down to as low as you can and get it on seller finance, right? Where, you know, the owner will carry the paperwork, mm-hmm. right? And I'll go and try to sell it.
I like that, man. Now that's super helpful. You want to hit him with the second question?
Yeah. All right. So, what's your idea of chasing freedom?
That's a good question. Chasing freedom to me is like money is not everything, but money is up there with like oxygen. I think there's a quote from somebody. I don't know. I just stole it. But no, but I believe in that.
Absolutely.
Right? It gives you options. It gives you freedom. Like we all are working for money. But what that money, like the why, kind of going back to what you're asking, like why are we working for money? It's for the freedom. Because I have a family now, I want to have options. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to do things, you know, like that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's the freedom side of things. Okay. Money is just a money. It's just money, right?
It's a tool.
But money is a tool, but you need the tool to get you where you want to go, right? Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid of finding more tools, right? Mm-hmm. Making more tools.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. I love that.
Okay. What 3 things are you most grateful for?
I'm grateful be able to talk to you guys right here.
Let's go.
Yeah. But honestly, I think I've always looking at life in a way where, you know, to me, I think you need to live your life the fullest. And what does that mean? It's like you need to, if you're not happy where you're at right now, you can change that. Like no one is pointing a gun at you and say, you know what, you have to continue doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, life is, you need to live your life to the fullest. Like everything, like, so like, even for my family, it's not perfect. No way is perfect, right? And so every morning I try to be grateful. First thing, I wake up, I'm happy, I'm alive, right? Go downstairs, talk to my kids. Sometimes they're screaming. Still yet. Yeah. I'm glad they're here.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's it.
Yeah.
And then just start shift back to, you know, what you really want to do in life. It's not going to be perfect. Nothing is perfect.
No.
Yeah. So just kind of focus on your goals, like what you really want to do.
Yeah, intentional gratitude. I like that, man. I do the same thing in the sauna every morning. I'm sitting there. I think about all the things I'm grateful for that I'm lucky to have. And yeah, it's simple. Honestly, it's probably more important to focus on the simple things. Actually, like to even look at you say, you know, sometimes your kids are screaming. Be grateful for the noise in that house because that noise in that house makes it a home.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sweet, brother. Well, dude, that was this was a really fun episode. We really appreciate you coming on, man. How can people get a hold of you if they want to reach out to you and talk about land?
Yeah, so we started a podcast called Dirty Real Estate Show. It's all over Spotify, Amazon Music, whatever. And you can DM me directly. I have my Instagram account called Design with the Z, D-I-Z, Design Eric.
Okay. Sweet, brother. Well, I'm sure we'll have some people that want to reach out to you. And
I love to talk.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing to kind of like provide as much value as possible.
Yeah. And then we're going to put out your personal phone number and your address for anyone else that wants to come talk to you. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that, bro.
Yeah, my house address. Everything.
Everything, man. And these, you know, homes from these number, hours. Yeah. Yep. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on, brother. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode, you guys. For more awesome real estate content, you can check out my Instagram. It's just NoahEvans_real estate. It'll also be in the show notes. If you want to reach out to the guest, their contact information and websites and however else to get a hold of them will also be in the show notes. All of our podcast episodes get thrown up to YouTube. And for more awesome exclusive content, please go check out the website. We'll have that link in the show notes below as well. All right. Peace.